Check this out. Hey, Dave, have you seen the forecast? Have you seen the forecast for this weekend and the beginning of next week?
Yes, sir.
68 on Monday, 50 on Monday night.
If that's not camping weather, Tom, what is?
See, that's exactly what I told Robert, and he's just not moving off of it. He's just not a camper, you know?
Well, that's good. It gives us more space out there in the woods.
That's right. Dave England, a financial educator, joining us this morning, who's cooked more than one piece of meat over an open fire. Hey, by the way, I really enjoyed that photograph of you, David, with Governor Jim Thompson. I saw you post that on Facebook after his passing. I knew Big Jim for a number of years. We used to have quite a bit of fun together.
Yes.
When he used to fly his helicopter, the governor's helicopter, down to the mansion of Golconda.
Oh, my.
And we'd have a little fun down there, and they'd landed on the levee, you know, and back when we had money. And I thought that was a great picture of you and Big Jim.
Tom, the reason that picture happened was this was before I got into finance. I had a marketing and advertising business, and one of my clients back then was Mariah Boats. And also, you know, I designed logos. Designed a logo one time for the city of Harrisburg, worked on that logo for Mariah Boats and all those kinds of things. But whenever they had the new facility in Franklin County,
right,
helped put that together. And the Mariah Boat folks, they were great to work with, but had all these people come in, the dignitaries and so forth, break, because that's when it was one of the first times we started to really get good money and reinvest it back in here. So it was a win-win-win, but I was going to keep people to put that together. So that's what that picture was all about. And yes, it was an honor to be able to speak with the man. He was definitely a gentleman.
And it's always good to see your hairline again, too.
Yeah.
It's always appealing.
Next.
Yeah. You know, with the long time that you and I have been friends, there's a couple things that I've picked up. I've been more successful in incorporating things, some things, than others.
Yes.
But something you said to me a number of years ago is treat yourself like you are a company.
Yes.
Right? And when I was a kid, it was, do I have enough money to do this, this, and this? And then I went on about my day. You know, I've never been a good money person. And I've told you that. It's not my thing. Half the time, I don't care as long as I've got enough. But when I started trying to incorporate that into it, that I'm a company, run yourself like you're a company. We were talking earlier in the morning, this morning, about Carl Ortel and George Mason. I know you knew both those guys. Used to tell me, pay yourself first. Took me a long time to even understand that. What they were talking about was savings. But when you say, look, I've got a goal here as a company, my home. I'm going to reduce my credit card debt. I'm going to not pay my credit cards at a higher rate because I want to keep more money in the bank because I'm uncertain of the future. There are a lot of aspects when it comes to households that are direct parallels to running your home yourself like a company.
So smart, Tom. And yes, we go back a few decades, and that's one of the many key concepts that I taught whenever I was at Logan for the 26 years. Even when you work for somebody, you're your own company, and that's how you need to look at it. And the income that you bring in, that's your operating capital. And yes, pay yourself first. I go one step further. I like to give the first 10% and then pay myself the next 10%. And then that comes into the law of abundance with many things. It works, and we don't give to get, needless to say. But most people only take care of themselves after all the bills are paid.
Right.
Work that into your BUDGET. But, yes, it's one of the key things, and I don't want to get in the grass too tall here.
Right.
But yes, always view yourself as a business, and that opens the door to a brand new paradigm of thinking.
I think it makes you more objective if you take yourself out of the equation and say, all right, I'm running my household, you know, me, the significant other, what expenses do we have, what portion is going to the future, controlling your cash flow. And quite frankly, I've also found that it's made me not as afraid of the future. And I think fear is so prevalent now that if you can knock one out, then yeah, do it, right?
Tom, fear is a cancer in our mind. It's just that simple. When fear operates us, then we can't be objective. So we work fear. Do not let fear work us.
You know,
and back to some of these financial things is whenever you view yourself as your own business, Tom Miller, Inc.,
right.
David England, Inc., then that takes the emotion away from a lot of decisions, and then you can focus on the true rational aspects to make better educated decisions.
You know, and fear, of course, is something you and I have talked about, and I can't help but wonder if maybe that's what's driven some of the items here. I mean, we saw the stock market in some respects respond in a way during the pandemic that maybe surprised people. It kept going up, and people going, why? Why is it going up? And then this week, we kind of lost, not kind of, we did lose a lot of ground. A lot of this was driven by tech stocks early on. What's going on right now? What's caused this selling the last couple of days? I've heard a lot of people say it's because of the prospect of a full lockdown in England again.
Tom, the Wall Street is notorious. Whenever there's movement in the market, they feel that they've got to pin that action on a certain event for people can understand it. Well, that's not always accurate. Like today, we'll have selling again. It'd be interesting to see who gets the short straw and the reason. And, working with me, I keep things in simplest form. The simplest reason why we are doing this is from the March 24th low to the Labor Day high. The NASDAQ ran 75%, S&P 60%, and the Dow 56%. Now, keep in mind, an average of 8% to 10% a year is what us Southerners call tall cotton.
Right.
But well, all this is it is simplification. It's profit-taking. And so the ones that usually run the most are the ones that get hit the hardest.
All right. So if it's profit-taking, then I guess we tie this into the fact that we're coming up to the end of the third quarter next, Wednesday?
Yes. And then, of course, then that what that leads to is that in a couple of weeks, we have the third quarter earnings season that we'll be announcing, the different companies. Usually, they used to start off with Alcoa, but then Alcoa kind of dropped out of the way.
Right.
Then it started with the banks. The banks want to get theirs out of the way. And by the way, there's a lot of weakness in the banks right now. But as far as the earnings, around October the 20th is when it really starts to rock and roll. And that starts with the banks. It's going to be very telling to see how much more earnings have improved since the previous quarter. Across the board, this is going to be negative because of the economy that we have now. But, yes, and there'll be a lot of things that happen between now and next Wednesday in the market.
So does that lead you to believe that the selling over the past week is going to be ending or will continue? I mean, because people are speculating. They're speculating about Apple, right?
Yes.
And a lot of people saying Tesla and split stock, and all this, but Tesla's overvalued and all these things. I mean, these high-tech stocks are what's driving so much and not always good news. So are we over yet? Is the selling done?
Oh, no. No, we're going to have more volatility between now and the end of the year. And chances are it won't stop on November the 3rd. So the volatility is good. As long as you work it and it doesn't work you. So when you're volatility, that gets back to that fear thing. When we have a pullback like this, we have profit taking. What that is, that's a great thing because that allows us to put good, fresh money into these securities for the next run. And one of the key things, and you hit on Apple, Tom, if people want to know where the direction of the market's going, just watch Apple. And it's not that I'm an Apple fan. I'm talking on an Apple phone. I got an iMac in front of me, along with other. I got three different computer setups in my trading cockpit. But the reason that when people ask me why is Apple the most important, Apple has the highest percentage of weightings in the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P than any other stock.
Right.
Like it's 14% the weighting of the NASDAQ alone, and almost 10% of the Dow. So what's going to happen if people want to know what to look for? Go back and see before Apple announced their 4-for-1 reverse stock split. And at that time, now we're talking about adjusted prices, around $95. I'm watching for, so then it ran from 95 up several points. I'm watching, it'll come back to a point. Watch what happens to the market whenever Apple gets back to around 95 or as far as the index, the NASDAQ, around that 10,500 level.
I find that interesting that Apple is 14%. A 14%, yes. It's weighted that heavily within among those other tech stocks. Dave, we're going to run out of time, and I got just a bunch more questions. So I'm going to have to move forward here a little bit.
Sure.
All right, so you and I just talked. All right, in a third quarter, sell off, get those profits reported, move on. So that means we've got another earnings report season getting underway next week as well. Do you expect to start to see this market respond with that by going up?
I don't think earnings are going to be that much of a factor, Tom. And by the way, it'd be the following week whenever the majority of them start too.
Okay.
And that earnings season will last 6 weeks for the majority for the stocks. But earnings are going to be a part of it, but people realize we have tremendous weakness in parts of the market. And one of the most difficult things is to try and get your head around, the stock market is not the economy. And the stock market is a forward-looking vehicle 6 months out. So earnings is going to be very, very important. And back to the NASDAQ, Amazon and Apple control probably close to 25% of the whole market as far as the movement of the NASDAQ. So watch those two stocks for clues about what's going to happen.
All right. You said the it's a forward-looking vehicle, the stock market, Wall Street is.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's also looking 38 days from now. The election, what effect?
Well, a couple of things. People like to go in, and I'm an analytics guy. You know, I'm a numbers guy. I think it's a huge waste of time to go in and see the action of the last elections. And here's why. Because in all the previous elections, you know, and you go in and you study what are the facts on an election year? But all that's it's a moot point because in those years, we didn't have $3 trillion as a backstop on the market. Plus, we didn't have the algorithm trading that goes on in the dark pools that we have, where that's where a lot of the trading goes that it's not documented as far as the volume and these kinds. So it's a different world altogether. We're going to have volatility between now and the end of the year. Tom, just for all the listeners, don't be a casualty. Use volatility to help your bottom line, not the market's bottom line.
What is moving gold and silver? And you know, you and I've talked about. Matter of fact, here's somebody apparently saw my line of questioning here. Tom, would you please ask Dave where I can buy silver in Williamson County? I was going to. He names a business here, but they're no longer in business. Thanks, Jim from Johnson City. Acquiring silver, which, you know, I stole this from you too. Poor man's gold.
Yes. Okay. There are many places in considering any precious metal place. When you call them, find out if they want to educate you or if all they want is your money. That will be one. That's your acid test. There's not that many places in Southern Illinois. You got J&J in Heron. You got Gene at Heartland in the corner of Route 13 and 148. So call both of those people. Give them a shot. What it's going to boil down to is how much over spot they're going to pay.
Well, one of those businesses you just named, this gentleman says, is closed now. So,
okay, well, I'm not aware of that. Yeah. I talked to Gene about last month. I hope that it's not him.
Right.
But there are many places, but just be very, very careful about buying gold and silver from individuals.
All right, so what's moving gold and silver right now? Does it have anything to do with the nature of the dollar right now? I mean, is it sound enough or is it not sound and that's driving people to metals?
Well, two things again. We had a tremendous run in precious metals, gold and silver, in the last several months. Part of this pullback is just pure old-fashioned profit-taking. The second thing is what's driving it in the short run is trading inversely to the U.S. dollar. So in the last, let's just say, 3 weeks, I'm just throwing a number out, when the dollar has strengthened, and a lot of that has to do with is the relief package didn't go through to put more debt on the books, but as the dollar strengthens, then that has an inverse relationship. Right now, 6 months from now, it may not, Tom.
Right.
But right now, it's trading inversely to the U.S. dollar. But still, you know, people, we hear all this stuff about the dollar's not going to be the world currency. The dollar is still the dirtiest shirt in the laundry bin. But for the U.S. dollar to lose the world currency status, who's going to take it over? Is it going to be the yuan, China? I don't think so. Is it going to be the euro? I don't think so. So we can put a kibosh to a lot of that talk right now. We still have the strongest currency out there.
All right. David, the term stakeholder capitalism. We've started hearing this term. What is it?
Well, you have stockholders where people actually own stock in a company. Stakeholders are the people that are stockholders, or they don't have to be, but they have a one-to-one relationship with that company. It could be the vendors. It could be all the spinoff businesses around it. So that's one of the key things. We need to make the difference between the stockholders and the stakeholders. And so like the stakeholders, anytime that we have, and, you know, Tom, you've discussed this many times, and it's what I call, maybe I shouldn't make it difficult, the law of secondary and tertiary effects. When something happens, then what is the next round of things that's going to happen and the third round of things?
Yes.
So now we get back to this, to the stakeholder and the stockholder. The stakeholder's relationship to how does that affect the people in the community around that business or that government? are the vendors, are the people that are directly one-on-one related to the effects of those decisions.
And, you know, the talk now in the political thing of ending stakeholder capitalism. And I think that's interesting. It's one of the reasons why I asked. You saw this probably online on the announcement that you were going to be on the air this morning. We got a question from Ray, says, what's Dave's opinion on the fair tax in Illinois?
Oh, man, that's a 45-minute answer. Let me just say this way, okay? Anytime I hear the word fair and tax in the same sentence, you should have your answer.
Okay.
The second thing is for the people should research, what's the last state that actually did this? It was Connecticut. What happened in the state of Connecticut after they did this? You can go online and see it. See how long it took for the middle class to start to get taxed. See what actually happened to the high-income people in Connecticut. That's where that law of secondary and tertiary effects. When we see these ads, which I think a lot of these ads are very, very misleading and targeting to make the people that get taxed the most dollar-wise, and then, of course, it's always misleading because they're always talking about percentage, not actual dollars.
Right. Yeah.
When you see that misleadingness, that should tell you something else. But those are the cash cows that those folks that are going to be taxed the most are the ones that can leave the easiest.
What is the market not discussing that it should be? I mean, we get it for those of us who are not active in the market, you know, like yourself. We hear it. We kind of judge it as a temperature taking kind of us. How's things going on the market? And, you know, we feel safer, I think, as a result of hearing those numbers because it's good news for everybody in the economy and we're a capitalist nation. But while the U.S. markets have these new highs, several of the largest global economies haven't. What should we be discussing in the market that's not being discussed to close this up today, Dave?
Well, what hasn't happened is a lot of the European and the other global economies did not make new highs like the United States markets did, like the NASDAQ and the S&P. So what's these other global, your China's, your Brazil, your India's, your Germany's, man, that Italy and France and Tokyo's been strong, or the Japanese market. But within those did not make new highs. So that's what's, now, and Europe's being under the radar now because of, that looks like the second wave of the COVID. But what I'm really watching that you don't hear that much, that's your Brazils, your Mexicos, your Colombians, your Perus, and your Chile. That's where the opportunities are. And then right now, especially with Brazil, those are what I'm watching. You know, that's where the action is going to be in the next 3 to 6 months globally. Don't overlook those markets. And also, it's not don't overlook them for the strength. I see tremendous weakness happening in those markets for a number of reasons.